a weekly show that looks at the experience of pregnancy and child loss through the lens of the Catholic faith. I'm your host, Eileen Tully.
Hello, and welcome to the President of Pain podcast. I'm your host, Eileen Tully, and today I am joined by Lauren Acola, who is a Catholic therapist. And today we're going to talk about grief and trauma and what kinds of things are normal. We've been doing a series on grieving with hope and talking about the complexity of grief, Lauren. So, I think that people can tend to feel hopeless. Well, not just the hope of, the theological virtue of hope of that we're, God is going to allow us to be reunited with our loved ones again. But sometimes when we're grieving so intensely, it feels hopeless. Like the intensity of it can feel like we're in this pit of despair, right? And there's no escape. And so we've been talking about how understanding what kinds of things are normal, what kinds of things to expect in our grief can help us to have hope that what we're doing is something that other people have experienced. And even though it feels so crushing and intense, it's not outside the realm of normal grief, especially for child loss. So that's where we have been talking in the podcast. And I'm so excited to have you on today just to talk a little bit more about that and to specifically talk about maybe some trauma and how the trauma of a loss might affect our grieving and add to the complexity of it. So why don't you start, if you would, by just telling us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, I would love to. And thanks for inviting me. I'm honored to be here. I'm a mom. I'm married. I have two children and two angels in heaven myself. So that's my primary vocation, but my secondary vocation is I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. So in my work, I integrate the faith with psychology. I'm very blessed to have a primarily faith-based practice. People seek me out because I'm Catholic and because I like integrating and I want to integrate that into the therapy work I do. Yes. So I work a lot with trauma and grief and, other things like anxiety and depression. And I work with adolescents all the way up to adults, married couples, families, kind of the whole gamut. So I'm eager to talk about this today. I think this is a great topic.
Yeah, that's so great. And I didn't realize you had lost two little ones yourself. So, you know what this is like and what mothers are going through when they're experiencing this, just a unique kind of grieving.
It is.
So if a mother comes to you and just wants to talk to you about what she's feeling and wonders if, I know a lot of people just wonder, I wondered if I was wallowing in my grief, if it was too, I was experiencing it differently. Can you just talk to us a little bit about what things are normal to expect in the grieving process?
Yeah, definitely. Grief is so complex. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, to put it nicely, grief is a process. It's not just an emotion is what I talk with people about. So it's the process of going through multiple emotions, a wide variety of emotions after the loss of somebody, And so we know one thing to be sure about grief is that there's no rule book for grief. There's no right way to grieve. And that is challenging because then we are left with the question of, well, am I normal? Am I doing this?
Do other people successfully? Feel this too?
Yeah. Am I on the right path towards healing? And it's challenging because grief for every person is so individualized. And so that's kind of always what I start with, talking with people of, whatever you're experiencing, you are meant to. And, it's a process that we're going to go through together and walk through together. And we'll get to this, I think, in a later question with kind of what trauma looks like. But grief is so individualized. So that's kind of the first thing that I always talk about.
Right.
Now, secondarily to that, I talk about the stages of grief, which most people have actually like heard that term at least.
Yes, we've talked about it. I've talked about it before. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. It's helpful and it's validating because a psychiatrist, Kubler-Ross was her name. She was Swiss, and she developed kind of these five stages of grief in one of her books. And then basically from there, there's been a lot of research that's proven that, you know, these are experienced by most people going through grief. And so those, the five stages are denial and anger, bargaining and depression, and acceptance. Right. So if you take, you know, kind of each one of those, obviously we could, you know, kind of, you know, cipher through it, and each one could have multiple emotions towards it, multiple consequences, multiple ways that it presents for each person, again, individually. But they're kind of nice just as a framework of saying, okay, these are some symptoms that I could expect when going through grief.
Yeah.
But I will say that, you know, there's no way to go through them. You know, it's not like, okay, I go through stage one and then I move on to stage
two. I wanted to ask you about that, right? Because it does sort of sound very linear. Like, okay, my child will die. I'll move through these things and then I'll accept it and I'll be fine. Right. So what my experience was just a jumbled mess of ping-ponging sort of back and forth between those.
Yes.
And then there were feelings like more like irritability and brain fog and confusion that sort of weren't easy for me to identify where they fit in that. It sounds like is a linear progression. So understanding that it's not linear and that there's a whole lot more involved than just those five names is really helpful, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So many symptoms present themselves, you know, that are based on personality. They're based on temperament. They're based on our, you know, past experiences, you know, so if I have a compounded loss, you know, if I've lost somebody and then, you know, a year later I lose somebody else, that's going to present differently and affect me differently, probably from my grief process of the first loss versus the second, because, you know, it's just, there's more complexity there. So there's kind of no right way to grieve, like I said. And so it leaves us feeling kind of lost sometimes, and you know, it leaves us questioning. But one of the pieces of grief too is that it's an ongoing process that remains with us in some capacity forever. So, you know, I kind of tell my clients, you know, that, you know, you're never gonna forget the grief that you're going through. You know, you're never gonna forget the person or the child that you lost. You're never gonna not miss them, but the severity and intensity of the other symptoms that we're experiencing usually do subside and become more manageable over time.
Right.
So that's kind of also the hopeful message that I give of, you know, stick with me here. It's really difficult at the beginning, and it will be in some capacity difficult, and there will still be grief 5, 10, 15 years from now. But again, the severity of kind of the lingering symptoms will subside. And that's usually really helpful for people.
That is really helpful. And I think that one thing that it's hard because outside people sort of think like by a year or something, you should be at this certain place, right? Like, are you still grieving this? You know, this experience, this loss, you didn't even, or especially if it was a miscarriage or a pregnancy loss, it's like, you didn't even really know them. Like, how can you still be sad about this? Right. It just doesn't. And I'm thankful that they don't understand, you know, because they haven't experienced that loss.
Right.
But by the same token, it feels frustrating because we sort of can take that on ourselves and think, should I be farther along than I am? And I think knowing you just mentioned you know, you didn't say like a month or 2 months or 3 months, you were like 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, right? Yeah. So it really, I think the duration is something that a lot of us feel it's just longer than we think it will be. And it's longer than other people expect it to be. And they sort of wonder why we're still sad? And then we wonder, am I just dwelling on this? Am I not getting past it? Right. There's that grief and dwelling. And are they, you know, where does one start and the others? I don't even know if there is dwelling. I think there is just still experiencing the pain and the grief from
process.
It. It just takes time. It takes so much time.
Do you feel distanced from God since the death of your child? Do you wish that there was someone you could talk to who understood the pain of this unique kind of loss? The Present in the Pain community is an online group of Catholic women who have experienced pregnancy and child loss. Come and find the support and understanding that you need to heal. Visit EileenTully.com and click on Community.
Well, it's such human nature, unfortunately, to just get over things, right? And so, I mean, our culture and society tells us that, you know, you're fine, take a medication, you'll feel better, you know, oh, you're still worrying about this, just stop being anxious about it, you know? And so there's pressure, you know, to get over it and to be done grieving. And in my experience, it's most often because the person that is kind of saying those pressured statements feels uncomfortable. You know, they feel uncomfortable with death. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to support somebody going through grief.
Tiptoeing around you now.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're like, I would feel more comfortable if you were done grieving. And of course, that's just not how it goes.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. And then, well, in the Kubler-Ross stages, depression, of course, is the last one before acceptance, right? But it is hard for us to sort of wonder, are we experiencing what would be considered depression, or is this still part of grief? You know, and I think some people start to do, like you said, it might be time to take some medication. It might be time to, you know, if you haven't moved on, but, you know, that's clinical depression is different than kind of that grieving depression, I think, you know, would you agree with that? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Some of the symptoms can overlap, and, and that's true for anxiety. That's true for trauma. That's true for, I mean, ADHD, like so many symptoms when they're isolated, they can look like those diagnoses, but if they're stemming from this very clear and specific loss, then, you know, in my opinion, in my experience, I usually, you know, attribute that to grief. Mm-hmm. And if it's still presenting, you know, after multiple therapy sessions or, you know, after a couple of years or something like that, then I might be more interested in saying, okay, I think this grief was the trigger, but maybe it has gone into a major depressive episode. Right. Something that I also look for is kind of, again, those pre-existing conditions that people may have. You know, before a tragic loss or before the death of a loved one or child, was this person experiencing depression or anxiety, or had something else traumatic happen? Because that might be kind of an indicator that, okay, it's kind of morphing into more of a clinical diagnosis than just the grief.
More play here. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. And then if we can talk maybe a little bit about what would sort of indicate that trauma was affecting our grieving process, or even in my own experience, after my second twin dying in a short period of time, it was one was stillborn and then the other one died in the NICU. So it was that back-to-back, like more complex grieving that, that was going on for sure. I had just had what I learned later was called acute stress disorder, was just the sort of numbness and detachment from my body that everything was just sort of trying to process everything. But then a dear friend who had also had a stillborn baby, she invited me in the fall. I lost my babies in the summer. She invited me out to see a movie, just to sort of get our minds off it. And we went to see Twilight, the vampire movie. Sort of as like a guilty pleasure, you know, not something heavy, you know, that was our thought. But in the movie, the girl, the main character, Belle or Bella or something like that, she coded. She died basically, and they you know, worked to bring her back to life. You can see this movie clearly. So but in my mind, I was just instantly brought back to the NICU watching them work on my 3-pound baby. And I did not know that it would affect me like that. And I just, I was on the floor of the movie theater just in tears, and, you know, not just thinking about it, but really just re-experiencing that whole thing physically with the fear and the I don't even know what to call it. I mean, just intense emotional response to this. I'm sure people thought, like, oh my goodness, it's just a vampire. You know, everybody in the theater was probably like, why is this lady like on the floor like this? But, you know, crying about the character, but it had nothing to do with the character. That just triggered my memory for what happened to me. So I went to see a counselor and learned about trauma and learned about how that might be affecting my grieving. So
I'm so glad you did.
Yeah, I'm so glad I did, because I was just like, I don't know what is happening to me. That was just so shocking. So in your own experience with these kinds of losses, what would you say would be an indicator that trauma is playing a role?
Great question. Yeah, trauma is complicated like grief, and it's also very individualized like grief. So it lies on a spectrum. And, you know, trauma doesn't just have to be a clinical diagnosis of, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. You know, it's not just for war veterans or, you know, sexually abused children, which are kind of the stereotypes, you know, of, oh, that's trauma. No, you know, it doesn't have to be like that. Trauma can be experienced by anybody. And, you know, certain events could be traumatic to one person and the person next to them experiencing it not, you know, like husband and wife would be, you know, a common example. You know, I don't know about, you know, your situation, Eileen, but, you know, you could experience this trauma, and your friend who also had a stillborn baby in the movie theater, if she didn't experience
it wasn't her same experience. Or even my husband could watch, even just, I learned afterwards that even just shows like, I don't know, a hospital show where somebody could code red, you know, code blue, everybody needs to come running. Those would set me off. My husband could watch them, and he was right there with me in the NICU, right? And he didn't have that same, I had to say, I can't watch this, I have to leave the room, but he didn't have that experience at all. So you're right. Like, that's a perfect example, because we sure lived through the same thing and didn't experience it the same way.
Yeah. So exactly. Trauma, it can affect different people differently. And so it's just, it's important to kind of know what to look out for, which is, I think, what you're kind of asking, Eileen, because trauma usually stereotypically comes from something that's complicated, or, you know, the tragic loss or the sudden death, or, you know, complications around the death, you know, for example, a car accident or death by suicide or a murder or, you know, something horrific, you know, that is just so unexpected. So, you know, it's seemingly unnatural that our brain doesn't process it in a healthy way because it's so hard to even grasp, right?
Yes.
So when we're looking for trauma symptoms, it would be kind of all the experiences and the symptoms of grief that we've already mentioned, but kind of also escalated to the point where it's affecting our ability to function day to day. Now, you know, in grief, you know, again, the kind of early months of that, you might be like, oh, I have trauma because I'm not functioning, but this would be kind of prolonged inability to function. So, you know, trauma affects our ability to sleep. It affects our ability to have an appetite. It affects our ability to be in relationships. So if I'm experiencing trauma, I might find it difficult to engage with my children or engage with my husband or sit through mass or go to work, or for a child, you know, go to school and be able to focus, you know. You know, I don't want to be with friends anymore. You know, I just kind of want to isolate. And what you shared with your experience in the movie theater is also a huge component of trauma, which would be being brought back to the triggering event and feeling like it's real. So with grief, we might say, oh gosh, I remember, you know, what happened in the hospital. And like, that makes me so sad. Trauma would trigger me to say, I feel in my body and in my heart and in my brain that I'm experiencing that over and over and over again. Yes. You know, yeah. The kind of clinical like flashbacks, you know, that we would say are normal symptoms of trauma, or just the re-experiencing of it, that intensity would point me more to trauma than to grief, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because after I have done some work on healing the trauma, I can still remember, of course, that being there, and I can even right. like spend time and think about it, but I don't like relive it, right? That's the difference.
Yes.
The different
yes.
feeling is like, I don't feel like I'm living that whole thing again, just helplessly watching this happen
yeah.
without, you know, being able to do anything about it. But I can mm-hmm. think about it now, and it doesn't, I don't feel it. I just think about
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes.
How it's different.
That would be healed trauma for you,
right.
you know, like, okay, it's
a memory.
So the grief, right? Yeah, it's a memory. The yes. grief is still there. I still miss
still
my
makes
children.
Me cry. Yeah.
Yes. I still experience those symptoms here and now, but again, the intensity and the feeling like I'm right there and living through it the first time no longer, you know, it takes over, you know, and that's, that, yeah, that feeling of just like that rush, you know, of I'm so out of control. I don't know where I am. I'm no longer present in this room.
Yeah, I wasn't
I'm
in the movie theater.
There.
I was in the NICU. Yeah, yeah. That's how it yeah. felt in my body. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what would you suggest for moms who might be listening to this and thinking like, huh, I might have some trauma going on. What would be the grief, what would you suggest would be like a good next step to take if they're trying to do this on their own? Yeah.
Right. Right. I was going right? to say, well, I'm totally biased. But no, I think something with grief is this notion of how we've touched on this earlier, but how isolating it can be.
Yes.
And, you know, we're just left with our own memories, our own thoughts, our own feelings. And, you know, those around us, they try, you know, they try to support us and help us. But until you work with somebody or meet somebody that has gone through something at least similar, because again, you know, our grief is going to be
different
from
everybody
else. Yeah,
it's never the exact same, right?
Right. But if we can relate to somebody that gets it, that is a huge part of the healing process in my mind. So
yes.
again, I'm biased, but you know, I usually say seek out a therapist that specializes in grief or trauma or both, ideally. Yes. You know, like go to a grief support group where you talk with other people in similar situations, just to kind of what we're doing here, you know, like figure
yeah,
out
just to know
what's
that
normal,
yes,
what's not.
Other people have felt these things. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
books and like, I mean, podcasts like yours, Aileen, podcast books, articles, those are all great too. If you can sit through those, you know,
yeah,
it's kind of,
which can
you
be
kind
hard.
Of re-experience them
yes.
as you listen and as you read through books and, you know, kind of process in a different way by hearing
right.
other people's trauma or grief, but
right.
it's also very validating. So, I mean, all of those kind of three options are meant to provide the person that's going through grief just with some comfort that they're on the right track and that what they're experiencing is, you know, expected and
yes.
that they're, you know, they're doing their best to heal from something that's
yes.
so, so hard.
So hard. Yes. Thank you so much, Lauren, for talking to us about this today. Can
Absolutely.
You tell us where we can find out more about you?
Yes. Yeah. So my brand, if you will, my private practice is Your Faithful Therapist. So I'm on social media platforms. I'm kind of dabbling in all of them, trying to figure out what my little niche is, but I'm
yeah.
on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on YouTube, I'm on TikTok. So kind of all over the place. But
That's
if
so
people
good.
Are interested in learning about me, they could also just go to yourfaithfultherapist.com.
That's so great. Yeah. It's so important to find a therapist who is integrating the Catholic faith. I think it's so helpful to know that you do that. And I hope that people will reach out and find you.
Yeah,
thank you
so
much.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure.
For spending this time with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of
Take
course.
Care.
No, thank you for inviting me.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please consider hitting subscribe and leaving a review so that other people are better able to find it. Also, if you're interested in becoming a supporter of the show in any amount, it would be helpful for maintaining the podcast hosting and production costs. Thanks for prayerfully considering that.